Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. I'm absolutely delighted to see so many people here, and I'd like to thank the organizers for arranging this event. 7 years ago, in this city, I stood with Brother Nasir talking about prevent. And the paper was called, that I wrote, Preventing Extremism or Reforming Islam. And all of about 12 people turned up. And most of those were police officers. So 7 years later, it looks like the Muslims have finally woken up. And about time too. I'm going to tell you about how this policy is actually operating now, or has been operating, because I'm pretty sure most of you don't know what's going on. And believe you me, this is a policy that affects every Muslim. Every single Muslim, from what we call from cradle to grave. Every aspect of Muslim life is covered by the Prevent policy or some project within Prevent. It's quite a technical subject, so I'll try and give you Prevent Light. Basically, the root cause of violence, according to the British government, is not the political circumstances in the Muslim world, not what the British government and the Western government do, not foreign policy, but it's religious beliefs or aversion. And therefore, the solution is to reform those beliefs and ideas. That's what Prevent is all about. And it's no longer about violence. Violence was mentioned in the first draft in 2007. Now it talks about extremism and radicalism. It's about your ideas, your thoughts, your beliefs, what's going on in your head. And they have worked out that what goes on in your head are some of the things that the brothers have been talking about, the political beliefs, the injustices, the concern for injustice, the suffering of Muslims overseas. If you start to think like that, you're known as an Islamist. Now, Islamism is what they're trying to eliminate. So they've invented policies right from childhood until even you're in prison to try and get rid of those bad ideas out of your head. So let me take you to the journey. This is the Muslim life cycle, the journey of a Muslim. This is how it works. And I'm going to throw in some facts and figures which are real, which you should all be worried about. So let's take the case of Abdullah, your young son. He's now 8 or 9. He gets off to the madrasa. At the madrasa, the chances are, if in some areas, he's going to be studying according to a Prevent-funded curriculum. Now, Abdullah, normally you go there to learn maybe Urdu or Arabic and the Quran. Now you're getting a bit of a Prevent and a bit of what genuine Islam is. So Abdullah is introduced to the right concept of jihad early on, but he's already thinking about jihad now. Then he goes to school. In school and college, you've got something called a channel program. Now, the channel program basically has applies to all schools, colleges, and after the new legislation, it will be forced, legally obliged on certain areas. Basically, takes what happens in school, and somebody can refer you to a panel of experts if you make a certain comment. So Abdullah's watching Aleppo being bombed on the news, and the next day he goes into school, says, "This is terrible, this is a grave injustice, I'm angry about this." And Abdullah gets sent to the channel program by the teacher. He gets referred. And by the way, some teachers have also been referred. 2,653 individuals have been referred since 2007. For silly examples like that, or because they've grown a beard, or they've said certain things, or they've changed their behavior, or engagement with an ideology or a cause or a group, simply attending something like this, they can be sent off to the channel program. Abdullah then goes off to university. At university, he's already become a bit politically aware because he's had the jihad lessons at Madrasa now. He's now joined the ISOC, the local ISOC, and he arranges an event with his favourite speaker, maybe Muslim Big, or Sheikh Haytham. You know, he'd love to hear Sheikh Haytham. So everything's fine, it's booked. And what happens next? The university says, no, men and women have to sit together. They can't sit separate. By the way, please don't use the word segregated seating. Use separate seating. That's their terminology. And then, towards near the time of the event gets cancelled because Sheikh Haytham is a declared hate preacher, and so is Mozambique. And even myself, I've said some unsavoury things about British foreign policy. So poor Abdullah can't hear any of his favourite speakers. So his experience at university now teaches him that already he's not being treated on the same playing field. And this is happening more and more across the country. Speakers are being stopped for no reason. There's no way to challenge that. They don't have to give a reason. The same happens at conference venues, private conference venues. You book a venue, the Prevent officer contacts the venue's cancelled, or somebody else makes a complaint, these are hate preachers, the venue's cancelled. So poor Abdullah then decides he's going to join a mosque and a charity, and he's going to do some dawah work, you know, and some aid work. And Abdullah now thinks, well, this is safe territory, I'm okay here, this is nothing harmful. But you know what? The charity organises a talk, some speaker from overseas or some harmless speaker, and guess what, it's reported somewhere, and the charity commission come in. They write to the charity to say, or to the masjid, saying, why have you invited this speaker? What policies have you got in place to root out these extremists, to make sure they're not speaking? And last year, according to the charity commission's own report, 72 charities were either approached or investigated or monitored on the grounds of terrorism and extremism. So it's increasingly difficult for Muslims to have anybody speaking. And you know, a masjid is for the sole purpose of the service of Allah. The masjid belongs to Allah. Well, I'm sorry, our masjid committees who register their mosques as charity, that's not the case. You're responsible to the charity commission, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you might want to think about that. about the status of your masjid. So poor Abdullah then, you know, very depressed. He's, in the meantime, he's applied for some jobs. And because he's on this list, by the way, if you're on the channel list, you can't, you'll be there forever. There's no way of getting you off that list. So he applies for a job and his name is always on the list. He can't get a job. He's very depressed. So Abdullah goes along to his local doctor. Says, "Doctor, doctor, you know, I've got a problem." "What's the problem?" "The problem is I'm having these nasty political ideas in my head. And you know what? I've got a false sense of grievance about this British foreign policy. You know, there's something wrong with me. I'm not right in the head." And the doctor says, "Well, Abdullah, they haven't actually come up with a tablet to cure this yet, but the Home Office is working on it. It's called Preventa Muslim. It should be available in a few years. But in the meantime, I'll give you a prescription for the channel program. You see, the channel program has been extended to the health sector. Now your doctor, nurse, or your consultant, if you're a little bit depressed, if you're a bit upset, you say the wrong things, you can be sent off to the channel program to have those nasty ideas weeded out of your head. And if you if you're a patient, you might think this is unfair, because a lot of us don't like our doctors. You know, but the good news is, if you're a patient, you can actually refer your doctor as well. And imagine how many thousands of Muslim doctors we have. Can you imagine Dr. Abbas Khan or anybody else, all those Muslim doctors who are involved in mosques and charities who go overseas? And you know what? Assad in Syria, when those doctors go, he says, they're supporting terrorists. Well, you know what? When they come back here, if they start talking about it in their hospital, the British government and the Channel program also declares you as somebody who's likely to become a terrorist. That's what's happening in the UK today. And this channel program is going to become extended right across the health sector. It's going to become law. So Abdullah now, he's had enough. He says, "Well, I need to go on a holiday. I'll just go out of the country. I'll go on a holiday." By the way, and somebody's listening in, maybe the security services, going on holiday to the security services is code for "I'm going to jihad." Abdullah now goes out of the country. And by the way, marriage means shaheed. So be careful what you say on the phone. Now Abdullah, whilst he's there, he goes to a talk. And the talk is about how wonderful the British policy of treating Muslims is. And guess what? It's funded by Prevent. And Abdullah decides to come back. Abdullah decides to come back, but in the meantime, his passport has been taken away. If you're a dual national, even if you are born here, if you have another passport, your British citizenship can be taken away. And 37 people have been deprived of their citizenship since 2010, 20 in the last year. And by the way, Abdullah also missed a bit about Abdullah when he was on his way out, being stopped at the airport. Some 70,000 Muslim people have been stopped at the airport when under Schedule 7. And they've been asked all kinds of silly questions. So you can't get away from it. So Abdullah comes back and he says, "Well, you know what I'll do? I'll go to my wife and family at home. Home is safe." And he finds out, whilst he's been away, his wife has been on the Shanaz project. The Shanaz project teaches women how to spot signs of extremism amongst their husbands and their children. So poor Abdullah, he's still not safe. So he said, "I'm going to do some dawah now. I've had enough of this. I'm just going to put a stall up. I'm going to do some dawah. he starts selling in Long Time Market, he starts selling some DVDs, and amongst those DVDs he's got one of Malcolm X, 21st Century Crusaders, and Sayyid Qutb's Milestones. And guess what? They've been declared terrorist material. So poor Abdullah has now been arrested and sentenced for possession of terrorist materials. And he's in prison and he thinks, I'm safe here. I've been punished. But you know what? Now he's been put through the contest program in prison. And the contest program says that, you know, we'll de-radicalize this guy. It's the biggest failure that they've had. Out of 150 people, 110 didn't change their political ideas. And 40 just, you know, so-and-so. So now poor Abdullah is in prison and he's still not free. But you know what? Britain is still the place to be, because guess what? David Cameron says, you can have Sharia-compliant finance. He wants to make Britain and London the centre of Sharia finance. He doesn't like Sharia, he doesn't like your values, he doesn't like your politics, but he likes your money. Sharia's okay if it involves finance. So that's the reality. Their deen is money. This policy affects all of you. And really, I hope it's not another 7 years before you are going to decide to do something about this. The message I want to send to you is, you can run, but you can't hide from prevent. So brothers and sisters, I wish you all a prosperous and a good 2014. I wish you good luck. You're going to need it in this year. And my name is Abdullah the Radicalizer, and I've radicalized you today, and therefore I'm an extremist according to the government's Prevent program. So hopefully I've radicalized you to do something about this policy and change it. Jazakallah khair.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.